This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A new exhibition at the Cincinnati Art Museum is designed to help visitors think critically about the role of gender and diversity and how those issues are represented in the world of art. It's called Women Breaking Boundaries, and it examines the important contributions women have made to art and art history. Prominent artists in this exhibit include Georgia O'Keeffe, Lorna Simpson, Kara Walker, Mary Cassatt, Julia Margaret Cameron, Elizabeth Caslett. And joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about it is Cincinnati Art Museum Curator of South Asian Art, Islamic Art, and Antiquities, Dr. Ainsley Cameron. Dr. Cameron, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
I do want to note that in our online promotions of this, we had expected to include one of the artists involved in this exhibition, Amanda Carreri. We had a scheduling issue emerge late in the day, and unfortunately, Amanda can't join us, but we are going to talk about the very cool project that she has part of this. But Ainsley, let's get started with really what this exhibition is and why it's happening.
Sure. So this exhibition, Women Breaking Boundaries, is a celebration of our permanent museum collection. It is loosely based on 100 years of women's suffrage, of the passage of the 19th Amendment, and it's part of the Arts Wave Power of Her movement that's happening right now, an initiative across the city. The idea was that we at the museum used it as an opportunity to look inwards at our collecting practices, at our museum, and how we present women in our collection. So it's really about the representation of female artists or the lack of representation of female artists in our museum.
I noticed that, according to some numbers that I think maybe you provided to our producer, Elise, that the museum is, its collection represents about 17.2% of works contributed by women artists. Is that right?
Yeah. So part of the exhibition and the exhibition graphics is that I wanted to be really transparent about where we are and where we're going and how we can achieve meaningful change. There's been a lot of studies right now across the country about national collections, and the average is about 12.6%. So of named artists and museum collections, it's on average 12.6 are by self-identified female artists. We at the Cincinnati Art Museum decided to run our own numbers, which was terrifying, right? Because I didn't know where we were going to end up. But we came out at 17.2%, which is grand. It's great. It's not perfect. There's a lot of room for improvement, but it demonstrates that we as an institution have been focused and thinking about gender and representation in our collection for quite some time.
Yeah, so the Cincinnati Art Museum is about 5 percentage points higher than the national average. 17.2, to me, someone who's not in the business, it sounded quite low. So is there like a number that you're striving for in terms of the balance of representation?
I mean, 50-50
sure.
would be grand. It might take us a while to get there. Also in the exhibition, when visitors go, you'll see that I've got other statistics that talk about how many works by female artists we're collecting year by year. So it's showing this upward momentum and trend. So you can get that across as well in the exhibition, that we are thinking about this. We are curating our shows consciously and creating that our collection consciously.
Dr. Ainsley Cameron is the Cincinnati Art Museum Curator of South Asian Art, Islamic Art, and Antiquities. Dr. Cameron, how does this seemingly underrepresentation of women artists happen in general in the art world?
I mean, it all comes down to gender-based discrimination. I mean, I don't want to go too far down that row, but essentially that's where it's coming from in a lot of ways. The art world and the art canon is historically male-dominated and Western-dominated. So thinking about the big names that we learn about in art history classes, that is sort of perpetuated throughout. So female artists and artists of color, and female artists of color in particular, have always been underrepresented in museums, in galleries, through gallery representation, even in the press. So it is sort of thinking critically about that.
So what's happening in contemporary art exhibitions and the works that are being developed by new artists? Are we seeing a better balance?
I think we are, definitely. You're seeing a lot of the art fairs this year coming up that are thinking more critically about that and about having more female artists on display. There's a national movement across right now, right, that a lot of institutions are putting on exhibitions that are really forefronting female artists in their collection. I think what's interesting about this show, too, though, Women Breaking Boundaries, is that it's not just contemporary artworks. I made a point of having historical artworks represented as well to make it sort of more meaningful in that way to represent our collection.
And one of the artists that is featured in this exhibition is Amanda Carreri, who we had hoped to speak with, and she's got an interactive garment rack component to this exhibit that's a commentary or a celebration of women's suffrage, which we're celebrating the centennial of this year.
Absolutely. So I worked with Amanda closely thinking about how we could incorporate a piece by her in the collection and commission the work specifically for this exhibition. What I loved about it is that a major theme of the exhibition is about disruption. So we're disrupting the art historical canon by talking about underrepresented artists, but we're also disrupting the typical museum experience. And Amanda Carreri's work is so great to do that because she is a participatory artist. She's interested in experience and in creating connection and personal connection within the gallery setting. So the garment rack has pieces that you literally take off of hangers and try on. Garments, clothing is a very democratic art form when you think about it. We all wear clothing. We all associate clothing with our daily endeavors, with our identity. And so these artworks, each of these garments, represent different aspects of identity as seen through suffrage.
So what would someone expect when they're visiting this exhibit and they do decide to participate in this? I know you said that you take a piece off the garment rack or whatever, but what is the takeaway from it?
I think the takeaway is that you're literally embodying the fight for civil rights, the fight for representation, and how that's ongoing. So there's a few pieces that are influenced by the suffrage flag itself. There's some ponchos that that are made in the same colors as the suffrage flag from the early 20th century. There's another one that represent LGBTQ plus communities and an ongoing fight and struggle for representation. And so, by actually trying these garments on, by participating in that endeavor, by talking to the person next to you, you're just having a more sort of visceral connection, I think, to the themes of the exhibition.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our guest today is Cincinnati Art Museum Curator of South Asian Art, Islamic Art, and Antiquities, Dr. Ainsley Cameron. There are some locally connected artists or artists of local origin from the past who are also part of this exhibit as well. What are some of the stories that you can share with us about some of these women who are involved?
Sure. So we have quite a few works from Cincinnati-based artists. Of course, in the 19th century, this was a major center for art production. And so we've got the big names that you expect in the ceramic production, but also we have some less well-known artists represented. And there's one named Lillian Whitaker, who actually created a pattern to create a doll. It's called the Little Suffragette Doll. And the idea behind it, I keep on referring to it as subversive proto-feminism. And the way that I came up with that was, if you think about it, you would create this doll, a woman, a suffragette, would give it to her daughter, would sit around the kitchen table, would be doing quote-unquote women's work, but also passing on this idea of civil rights, passing on this idea to sort of push forward in the next generation. And then the daughter would have a little doll to take away from that.
What era was that? From?
That was made around 1914 to 1919, we have it.
So just before women did gain the right to vote in this
just
country.
Just as all of this was happening,
before,
yes.
Barbie and those types of dolls that we associate with young girls culturally.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's really interesting. What's her story, this artist? What else do we know about her?
She was a local artist. She lived in East Walnut Hills. She was very prominent in the art world here. Moved to France for quite some time and was just, I think, a very interesting character. Remained unmarried throughout her life, but was dedicated to, I think, women and civil rights.
What can you tell us about Helen Frankenthaler?
So Helen Frankenthaler.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. So Helen Frankenthaler is this incredible abstract expressionist painting, leader in that field, but was working in a field that was very much male-dominated. I mean, think Jackson Pollock. Think of that, his shirt off, throwing paint on canvas. It was a very testosterone-fueled art movement in a lot of ways. But Helen Frankenthaler was an incredible, incredible player in that movement, underrepresented in the historical canon, but I think finally getting her due. And we have an incredible piece by Frankenthaler in this exhibition.
I want to talk a little bit about the museum and its map, I guess, is the industry term, the way that you lay out the different exhibits that people can see. This recently changed at the Cincinnati Art Museum. Can you tell us about that process and the thought behind it?
Yes. So part of this process was, the Women Breaking Boundaries exhibition is in two galleries on the ground floor across from the a museum cafe, but it extends throughout the museum. And so what we did is we rewrote the museum map. We took the visitor map that everybody who comes through the door gets, and we changed the coloring, changed some of the message to say that we want every person, every visitor who comes through the door through this year to think about our museum in relation to gender and representation. So almost all of our rotating galleries are focused on FEMA artists throughout this year, as well as we have stickers in every gallery that identify works by female artists. So everybody is encouraged to think of, to be a critical consumer of art in this way.
This exhibition started late last year, right? It's been open since?
Since October.
October, okay. Mm-hmm. And it runs through April 12. Mm-hmm. So you've got a few months under your belt. What has the reception been from the public?
It's been wonderful to see, actually. It's been really positive. I think people are really feeling empowered by the exhibition and really identifying with it. So it's great. The social media response has been wonderful. The press response has been really good. And I think this idea of being transparent of where we are and where we're going, people are really identifying with.
And the attendance is good?
Yeah, it's been great. We could always have more. Do come.
And you recently returned from Jordan.
I did, yes.
Why? Well, not why did you return, but why did you go there in the first place, I should say?
So I work on many different projects at the museum, and one of my upcoming projects is to reinstall our ancient Middle Eastern galleries. And so we are honored to be the stewards of one of the greatest Nabataean collections outside of Jordan, and that's artwork created by the peoples who built Petra. So I was in Jordan researching that exhibition, that gallery reinstallation, as well as connecting with many of my lovely, wonderful colleagues there.
Oh, for those of us who don't know, you might have to explain Petra.
So Petra is a beautiful rock cut temple that you can see, a rock cut civilization, really, that is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And it is an amazing, amazing place if you think about, you know, Indiana Jones. I hate to say it, but go back to Indiana Jones. It's one of the main scenes that you see where he travels through on a horse and comes through and sees this beautiful pink-hued stone that is beautifully, beautifully carved. And the Nabataeans were a civilization that were incredible traders. They were connected to the wider region in the first centuries of now. Yeah.
So when does this happen here locally? Do we get to see anything soon?
We are looking at 2021. It takes a long time to do these projects, absolutely, but that's kind of also tomorrow in museum terms. So watch the space. Those galleries will be opening soon.
Well, maybe before we break, you can give us a quick lesson in how the curation actually works. You visited the Middle East. You've got this project that you know is coming next year. What are you doing now in anticipation of that? What's the type of work that goes on?
So it's a lot of research. It's looking at our permanent collection. It's researching where the objects came from, what they mean, how to present them to a 21st century audience. That's a lot of what I'm thinking about is how do I make the ancient world come alive to today's audiences? How do I get them to really understand the beauty and the history that's involved in all of these objects?
Our guest has been the Cincinnati Art Museum Curator of South Asian Art, Islamic Art, and Antiquities, Dr. Ainsley Cameron. The Women Breaking Boundaries exhibit at the Cincinnati Art Museum runs through April 12. Dr. Cameron, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to let you all know that coming up, and this is next week, February 5, Wednesday, at Northern Kentucky University, Ken Rudin, the political junkie, will be live and in person with us for a panel discussion about national politics. You can imagine we'll have lots to discuss that day. It is Wednesday, February 5 at the University Center Ballroom at Northern Kentucky University, starting at 7:30 p.m. Ken Rudin will be joined by our Howard Wilkinson and NKU professor Dr. David Childs and Miami University professor Dr. Rachel Bloom. And I will be your moderator. We hope to see you there next Wednesday at Northern Kentucky University. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.